Good morning. It's good to see you here at Osage this morning. Let's all stand together as we start our time of worship together. Tom, you want to help me? No.
Didn't go as well as we might think. I want to give you an update on the pulpit committee, kind of where we're at. We have set a date of October 14th to take resumes. So that's the end of the day. We've advertised at a lot of places. We've reached out to a few people, and on the 14th we'll cut that off. On, let's see, 15th, 16th, 17th, Tuesday the 17th, we're going to start looking at those applications, resumes, who we've got, who we've got contact with, and see where God would lead us on someone to speak to. Now, I'm telling you this because what I want you to do is go ahead and get your phone out or whatever you got to do, and I want you to write 6 o'clock on Tuesday the 17th down, and I want you to pray for us 6 o'clock, Tuesday the 17th. We need God's direction in this. And we've got several men that I'm excited about. I think God's opening doors for us, and we'll see where it goes. But please pray for us. I just want you to know where we're at, what the timeline is. So we've not given much. I've tried to keep a business meeting and those sort of things posted, but we've not spoken to you, to everybody at the church for a while. So no, we're working on it, and we still need your prayers. So don't forget about it.
Fries are hogging the microphone. Okay, girls, November 3rd. Let's mark our calendars. We're going to get together. We're going to Rock Haven Bible Camp. We're going to hang out that night through lunch the next day. We're going to do a Bible study from Priscilla Shire, and it's called Breathe. All of us need to breathe a little bit every once in a while. Take a rest. And it's going to talk a lot about the Sabbath and how we need to honor that and how God can use that in our life. So come join us. All the meals are provided. The cost is $35. As always, if you don't have the means for that, you know we'll take care of you. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Thank you, Jeannie. And so we'll just get together and have a good time. Come join us.
Okay, so me and Lauren got together and decided October 29th we're going to have the Hallelujah Festival starting at 5:30. And so we decided to give it a theme. Our theme is going to be the Kingdom of God. I thought that was really cool. So come dressed up as a prince or a princess or a donkey or a clown or whatever. Or, I don't know, animals. There's animals in a kingdom. Whatever you could find in a kingdom. You can come dressed as that, and then we're also, please bring some chili and some sides, and start bringing us some wrapped candy. We also need some people to run some games for us. We already have a few people signed up, so if you have an idea for a game, just let us know, and we'll write it down. So, thanks.
Just a few more announcements. Tonight we'll be continuing the I'm a Church Member study during 6 p.m. October 7th, Wedding for Maylee and Colton here at the church at 6:30 p.m. Everyone is invited. October 11th, the youth will be going to the Fields of Faith in Green Forest at 6:30 p.m. We will leave here at 6 p.m. right after dinner. And then we will not be back. They said it would be over about 8:30-ish, so we'll be back later than when normal Wednesday's nights are. October 17th, annual associational meeting at Freeman Heights in Berryville with a meal at 5:30 and a meeting at 6:30. All right.
Choir at 5 o'clock?
Oh, yep. October 1st. That's the day. Choir practice at 5 p.m.
Thank you.
And then, all right, now I think I got them all. All right, will y'all pray with me? God, just thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. I pray for Tim and the message he's going to bring us. God, I pray you bless it and give us ears to hear. God, I pray you watch and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dalton. Let's stand together. Oh, thank you. Wait, I almost forgot the birthdays and anniversaries. If you're celebrating a birthday in the month of October, please come forward. You may sit down. I'm sorry. I missed a step. If you're having a birthday, please come forward. We'd like to honor and encourage you. Any birthdays? Wow. Interesting. Okay. Okay. You want to stay there? We'll sing to you right there. Okay. We'll sing to you right there. Let's sing. You happy birthday too? Okay. Okay.
Jeannie has a birthday.
Jeannie?
Yeah.
More birthdays.
Uh-huh. Let's sing to these people. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. We love you. October. Come on up here, Larry. All right, let's sing. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
As our men would come forward for the offering, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you. If you're a visitor here, there's just one of these blue cards in the pew in front of you that is there for you to fill out and put in the offering plate so that we can have a record of your visit. And if you desire, come and see you afterwards and tell you more about our church. We just want to make sure you feel welcome and encouraged. We're glad you're here.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning. It is great to be back with you this morning here at Osage Baptist Church. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. Thank you for the reminder of the gospel in the music this morning, the fact that God loves us, that He loves us so much that He sent Jesus to die for the sins that we deserve to die for. And amazing love, incredible love that God has for each one of us, for us individually, for us as a church. Thank you all for that reminder. Thank you for the reminder of to pray for the pastor search committee. God is at work, and He is leading them, and He is leading the right guy to be your next pastor. And we need to be in prayer. God wants His will for this church more than you want His will for this church, right? So I think if we ask Him and if we beg Him, if we plead with Him, He will speak and He will lead and He will open up the doors for His man to be here. Amen? So continue to pray for them that Tuesday night, the 15th. Is that right, Brent? The 17th. Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, be praying for the search committee. I don't know about y'all, but on Saturdays I try to set aside some time to watch some football. Anybody else do that yesterday? We got at least one honest guy in the back there who take some time. One of the interesting things to me at the during the day, during the Saturday or even Sunday afternoons, are the post-game interviews right? Where somebody comes up to one of the players or the coach and asks them how they did. Well, they've either won or they've lost. Either they're really happy or they're really, excuse me, frustrated or sad. But there tends to be two kind of, I'm sure there's a bunch of different kinds, but I see two different kinds of post-game interviews. There's the one where the player that is being interviewed is almost clueless to the rest of the world. The game revolves around him, right? You had a great game today. Tell us about it. Well, I've worked hard, you know, and it all came together for me today, and my guys helped me, and it's all about him, right? You've seen those post-game interviews where the guy just thinks that the game and the world revolves around him. And then you have the other guy that, man, has done an incredible job. They've won the game. They come to the interview and they're asked, well, how'd you do it? Tell me how you're feeling at this point. He's like, man, you know, we had a plan. Coach gave us a game plan. We executed it. Everybody did their job. We got to the point where we were, and it just came together for us today. Just very, very humble and giving credit to everybody as opposed to, you know, I'm somebody. I'm important, right? And forget about the other 10 guys that helped. I saw a play yesterday that, forgive me, but there was an interception. A quarterback threw. The ball was tipped. The ball was tipped right into the guy's hand. I mean, he didn't have to move. It was just like, here's the ball, and caught it and had a great return. And you would have thought that you know, he had just won the Super Bowl the way he celebrated and the way he pointed to himself and thinking, look how great I am. Look what I just did. And I'm thinking, you didn't do anything but stand there, you know, and the ball hit you. I wonder sometimes, and as I was looking at our passage again last night, thinking about some of those games and thinking about the passage we're going to be looking at today, I see across the country, I see in America, I see here in Arkansas that you know, sometimes we approach church like this. We've got this mindset. Oftentimes we have this mindset that the church is about me. The church is about you. What you get out of it, and everything should work. And everything does work to make sure that I'm happy and that I'm highlighted. We have a very individualistic society as a whole, but I fear that it's infiltrated the church, where we are self-centered and self-absorbed and self-satisfying and selfish and maybe even a little bit disjointed from each other and disconnected from each other the way that God intended us to be. Today I want to remind you, if I can, as gently as I can, to tell you, it ain't about you. All right? Let's just get that out up front here. This is not about you. Yes, you're a part of it, right? We're here, and all, but this, what we do here, what we do as a body, what we do as believers, is not just about you. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 this morning. And I can't help but wonder, we've looked at Philippians before, talked about Philippians in the past. This is a church that Paul started, a miraculous beginning to the church there in Acts chapter 16. He was there for just a few weeks. He left Timothy there and some leaders to continue the work. We're talking 6-7 years later. He's writing back to them, and he's writing to them for reasons. At least one of those reasons is that there was apparently some division of in the church. There was some disconnection between some of the members and some of the body that was there. And he attempts in a couple different places here and in chapter 4, he attempts to kind of address that and remind them. So here's a church that he loved, that he cared for, that he praised, that he was so thankful for. I thank God in my every remembrance of you. He's thankful for them, yet they weren't perfect. And there seemed to be some, and division may or may not be the right word, but there seemed to be some disconnectedness, and Paul says, let's get to the heart of this, all right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Lord, as we open your word this morning, we pray that you would speak. Lord, as we talked last week about a real church, what church really is meant to be and all about in Acts chapter 2, Lord, I pray that as we see how Paul is addressing concerns and some disconnectedness among the fellowship, God, I just pray that you would speak to us today and bring us back into this kind of heart, this kind of mindset, this kind of gathering, this kind of unity that we see expressed here in Philippians chapter 2. Speak to our hearts today. Speak to our minds. Change us for the glory of Jesus and for the glory of the church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is writing, and before he gives some very specifics, He lays a foundation. He lays a foundation, I think, for the Christian life, for life in the church, but totally for the life of Christian. He gives us four so ifs there in verse 1. So if there is, and then he gives us four things. That so if in the English Standard Version can be translated a couple different ways. Some translations say since or because. It's what's in the Greek, and I'm going to impress somebody with my knowledge of Greek. It's what's called a first-class conditional clause, okay? You English majors, you're like, yeah, way to go. We pulled in some grammar here. Basically, that means that it's a conditional clause. If this happens, then this must be the case. And so what he's saying here, Not so much if it's the case. It's more if it is, and we know that it is. If it is, and we're confident of this fact. If this is the case, then so if, meaning yes, this is a more to be understood as a you have this, since you have this, because you have this, because of these four things. He goes on and says, let's have unity. Okay, that makes sense? So we're going to look at those four things real quickly here. Since you have, or because you have, any encouragement in Christ. One translation, since you have, are united with Christ, or a part of Christ. When we were saved, when we turned from our sin, when we trusted Christ's death on the cross for our sins, his resurrection, to give us new life, when we turned from our sin and trusted him, we became in Christ. We became a part of the body of Christ. Amen? We were born again into Christ's body. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are a part of the church. The church is the family of God, the physical representation of Christ here on planet Earth today. You are not alone. You are born into Christ, into his fellowship, into his family. You are not alone. You're not isolated. Again, it's not all about you. You're a part of something bigger. You're a part of something bigger than yourselves. We are a part of God's worldwide movement. The movement that started with the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, that has continued as Christ came to earth to redeem us, to save us, and to save humanity from its ultimate demise, that will continue until the whole world hears and Jesus himself returns to take us home to be in heaven with him for eternity. We are a part of all that. You belong to Christ. Be encouraged in that. we are not just here today. We're a part of something bigger, something greater than just our own lives, the life of Osage Baptist Church. We are part of God's kingdom plan from beginning to end. We're part of something incredibly awesome. Be encouraged this morning that the difficulties that you face, the trials, the frustrations, though oftentimes very real and very painful, are temporary and in light of eternity. They're minor in comparison to the fact that we are united in right fellowship with the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. Amen? Take courage in that. Take comfort in that. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is that makes you want to say, it's all about me right now, remember that we're a part of something so much bigger. The body of Christ, the church, you are part of God's eternal plan. Since you have encouragement from that, since you have comfort from love, God loves you. We say that flippantly and we think that flippantly sometimes, but take a step back and remember who you are. Be real with yourself. You don't have to go to confession right now, but be real to yourself. You know how sorry you are, right? You know what's going on in your mind or in your attitudes, or you understand and you recognize that you don't deserve God's love. We all do, and that's the beauty of the cross. That's the beauty of the gospel, is that God loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves you here and now. He loves you not for what you're going to do for him, or what you did or didn't do. He loves you not for what you should be or could be, but he loves you right here and now, even more than you love yourself. As a matter of fact, he loved you when you didn't love him. When you were living your life opposed and selfishly about just yourself and doing whatever you could to he loved you then. His love is genuinely unconditional. Not based on you showing up today, not based on you doing this or doing that. He loves you no matter. Amen? Comfort. Take comfort in that. Paul is saying here, in spite of this or that and all that, be comforted by the fact. Be relaxed in, take joy in, rest in his love for you, both individually and as Osage Baptist. God loves you. If there's any comfort from love, if there's any participation in the Spirit, or since we have participation in the Spirit, we have fellowship with the Spirit. As believers, each one of us are indwelt by the same Holy Spirit. We are filled with the same Spirit. He was given to us by Christ at our conversion. He was given to us to comfort us, to teach us, to guide us in this journey that we call life, right? That's why he is indwelling us now. In Christ, we have the Holy Spirit as our constant companion. And when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are, as Galatians says, keeping step with the Spirit individually, we find ourselves going down the same road as others who are filled with the Spirit, right? We're walking with the Spirit. He is leading us into all truth. He's leading us into doing what he was sent to do, glorify Jesus, lift Jesus up, draw people to himself. When we are walking with him, when I'm walking with him and you're walking with him, we're walking parallel paths because we're walking in the same Spirit. We find ourselves walking down the same road with others who are walking with the Spirit. As Ephesians 4 says, one body, one Spirit, one helper, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and our Father. And Father, there's a unity that's implicit in our body as we are all walking in the Spirit. If we're all walking in the Spirit, we're all walking the same direction. Amen? There's a unity there. Since we have that same participation in the Spirit, since we have any affection and sympathy, some translation call this tenderness and compassions. In Christ, we have been shown and are continually shown tenderness and compassion. Think about how often you mess up, how often I mess up. We've got a Father, a Heavenly Father, that loves us unconditionally. It shows tenderness and compassion to our issues and in our pain. Think about it for a minute. The Creator, Sustainer, Ruler, King of the Universe, all powerful judge and jury, has reached down to us in our sin and in our junk and treats us like the weak, blind, confused child that we are. He's tender, he's compassionate, he helps pull us up out of the muck and mire, taking us one step at a time, patiently forgiving and comforting us as we mess up or as we get messed up. Sometimes it's our own hand, sometimes it's put on us by others. God is there continually forgiving, continually comforting, continually showing his sympathy, showing his affection. Paul says in these verses, since we are loved unconditionally, since we are in fellowship with him, in walking in the Spirit, since we are tenderly cared for him, since we have all these things, this is how we should respond. Verse 2. He says, complete my joy by being. Since we have all that stuff, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. There's four senses because of, and we've got four responses to that. And I think I don't think they're exactly parallel, but they're really close. Since we have this encouragement in Christ, he says, be like-minded. Think alike. Have the same mind or be like-minded. The idea here is not just about thinking the same thing, but thinking the same right thing. Having the mind of Christ, correlated to that first sense. You're united with Christ. So think like Christ. We are in Christ, so we should have the mind of Christ. Be like-minded with Christ. How do we get that? How do we learn to think like Christ and have Christ's mindset? You know the answer, right? Right there. Yeah, thank you. A few years back, I don't know who I heard, but I heard somebody say something about the life of Jesus. If we just understood the life of Jesus or read more about the life of Jesus, that we would be more Christ-like. And so first season, in my own quiet time, I read nothing but the Gospels. For almost 2 years, I would read two or three chapters a day in Matthew, go through Matthew, go into Mark, go into Luke, go into John, and back into Matthew, and just over and over again for almost 2 years, reading the Gospels with this heart for the desire to think like Jesus, to be like Jesus. I'm not saying that's what you need to do, but maybe it is. But we need to see this Jesus that we're supposed to be like-minded, like have this same mind as Christ. He says, make my joy complete by having the same mind, having the same love. Paul says that we must love alike, love together, have unity in our love the same thing, the same way. Of course, we understand and we know that in the New Testament, we've been given the two greatest commands that go back to the Old Testament, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to love God with everything that we are. That's what we've been called to do, to love Him. And the second is like it, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Because we are loved unconditionally, that fundamental human need that we have to feel safe and secure and protected and loved has already been met, right? And Christ, which frees us up to love. The natural man loves in order to be loved, right? We love somebody because we think they love us, or we want them to love us back, and there's this goings on because there's this fundamental human need to be accepted, to be loved, to be cherished, to be thought of highly. We've already there in Christ. Because of God's love for us, we are free. Whether anybody else likes us or not, we're free to love unconditionally others. We can fulfill those commands to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves because we have been loved. God calls us to together to love Him and to love the folks around us. That's loving the same. We've got to think the same. We've got to love the same. He says also for us to be in full accord. The idea of full accord there has to do with being on the same page. I think it has to do with that being one in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We're going to walk together because we're in accordance with the will of God, the direction of the Spirit. There'll be a sense of we're in this together. There'll be a sense of family, unity, a sense of fellowship when we walk in one accord, in one Spirit, when we're on the same page. Then the final thing that he mentioned there in verse 2, being in full accord and of one mind. Intent on the same purpose, having the same goal. Since or because of the tenderness and compassion that we've been shown in verse 1, when we deserved his judgment and wrath, we should have the same goal and same purpose in our lives, showing tenderness and compassion to others, in order that we might love them and show them and lead them into the kingdom of the Son he loves, who has died for us. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If God saved us just so that we would go to heaven, he could have just beamed us up right here and now, right? Beam us up, Scotty, and taken us to heaven once we get saved. But he's left us here for a reason. He's left us here to be his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece, showing his love and grace to those around us in order to show them and to share with them his love and to help bring them into the kingdom. We've been blessed beyond measure. We have been blessed and loved beyond anything we have could ever deserve. The result of that love, the result of that compassion, the result of that indwelling of the Spirit and the affection and sympathy should result in a single focus, the mind of Christ, the heart and the purpose, a healthy body, each doing its part to reach that ultimate goal of bringing glory and honor to Christ. How do we do this? Very practically. It's not easy, but he gives us two practical ways in the next couple of verses. How do we have this mindset? How do we have this attitude? How do we act in light of this? Verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others as more important, better than yourself. This is so contrary to what the world says. It is so contrary to what the sin nature says. So hard to do, so contrary yet this is the way of Christ. In our world today, we're told to look out for number one. Get what you can get. Take care of yourself. Be true to yourself. Follow your heart. All those things, right? That's what we hear. You deserve this. McDonald's, you deserve a break today, right? You have a right to this. You're the most important thing. Take care of yourself. Yet Paul tells us the way of Christ is just the opposite. We're not the center of the universe. You're not the center of the universe. You're a part of the family of God. Consider others when you're thinking about life, when you're thinking about your needs and your concerns. Consider others as not as important as you, but better than yourselves, more important than yourselves. We can do this. We really can, again, because of what Christ has done for us. All your needs, all your emotional, all your spiritual, all your soul needs have been met in Christ. It's been taken care of. Verse 1. It is all there. We have been blessed beyond what we deserve, which frees us up not to focus on ourselves, not to focus on what I want and what I hope for and what I need, but to focus on and to love others. We all have our needs. We all have our wants. We want significant security, hope. It's been taken care of in Christ. Amen? This is hard. I'm going to just tell you, it's hard for me. When I say to somebody that I work with, I think we ought to try this. And then 2 weeks later, I hear from on high that so-and-so had this great idea, which was my idea. It's hard not to want to take credit for that, right? When we think of ourselves as a team, as on the same family, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. Jesus gets the credit, right? It's hard, but we've got to be secure in who we are and who God has called us to be. Nothing out of selfishness, but in humility, because we really do know who we are, right? In humility, considers others as more significant than ourselves. Verse 4, continuation of the same thing. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. There are a lot of needs in this community. And if you're focused on just taking care of yourself, some of those needs aren't going to get met. There are a lot of needs in this body, this fellowship, this gathering, this group of people called Osage Baptist Church, that if you're just focused on your own needs, some of those needs aren't going to get met. If we're only focused on what we get out of it, some of the needs and the Lord's will is not going to get met. We're here not just to look out for our own needs, but for the interests of others. The Christian life is a life of selflessness, self-sacrifice, life of service. We're not going to take the time to look at the next few verses, but he reminds us this was what Jesus did. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is our example in this. Paul says this is what you should do. Here's how it works. This is what Jesus did. In Christ, this ought to be our attitude, our mindset, our heart. especially for here in the body. You guys are in the middle of a transition from a beloved senior pastor of 32 years to who knows what's going to happen next, right? There's concerns, there's questions, there's I'm going to say it, I want this, I think we need this, what would really be good if we had this, and I hope we get this. I walk in the Spirit, follow Jesus, get right with Him, stay right with Him, stay close to Him so that we have the same mind when it comes time to voting on the next pastor, to finding the next pastor. Amen? Unified and in all on the same page moving forward, because my needs and your needs have already been met in Christ. It's not about you. What happens in the future is not about you. I was at a, I don't even know what time it is. I should be done. Pastored a little church out just outside of Hot Springs. Loved it. Wonderful group of folks, wonderful, great leadership. We were working on constitutional bylaws, and there was a change that needed to be made, and everybody was on the same page, the deacons, the leadership. One of the deacons came to me about a week before the vote to make the change, and he said, "But Tim, I just can't do it." And somebody from the outside had influenced him and made him think that what we were doing was wrong, and had some scriptures to back it up. And of course, we'd talked through it, and this guy, I love this guy. I mean, great leader, beloved, and I knew, a young pastor there about a year versus. He'd been there all his whole. He was the deacon that told me when I became pastor. I've been here a long time. I'm gonna be here. I'm here before you. I'm gonna be here after you. Don't mess it up, right? That was his comment to me. He said, "I can't. I'm gonna have to oppose this," and I just. It broke my heart. We'd gone through it. We were getting ready to do this. It was the right thing to do. I knew it was what God was leading us to do. We get to the Wednesday night business meeting, and it's all hands on deck. And his name's Bob. Bob sat there, and I thought, okay, you know, I'm ready. I've got the scripture. I've got the reasoning. All the other deacons are on board. The leaders are on board. And I'm ready for whatever happens. We go through the process, and it's brought up, and it's motion and second and discussion. Bob's silent. I'm thinking, when's it going to drop? You know, when are we going to go at it? Nothing. We go on to vote. Nobody voted against it. One person didn't vote. Nobody voted against. I asked Bob after the meeting. He said, "Bob, what's the deal? I thought you were opposed to this." And he said to me, "Brother Tim," he said, "I love this church more than I love getting my own way. I didn't want to cause any division in the body. Didn't want to cause anybody to think less of you or the other leaders. I still don't agree. I love you guys more than I love getting more than I need to get my own way." I thought, oh man, what a great heart. That's the kind of heart that we're talking about here, right? Not about me. It's about the body. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning as we close. You're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. This is a God loves you, right? We've read it, we've seen it. He loved you so much that He sent Jesus to die for the sins that you deserve to die for. And by turning from your sin and receiving that free gift, you can be born again into the family of God. If that's you this morning, here in just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. I'd invite you to come and share with me. Let me share with you how you can be saved. As we have our hymn of invitation, I'm going to also invite you to come forward if you need to lay something at the altar. Maybe a grudge against another member here in the church. Maybe you've not shown the love that you needed to show. Maybe you've not looked out for their interests. Maybe there's something you just need to say, okay, I'm giving this up. My love for this church, the unity of this church is more important than what I want. Maybe you want to come and just lay that at the altar here. Let's stand together as we sing. Have our time of invitation. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we are freed to love, to care for, and to serve one another. Amen? And what God wants to do here is more important than you. And that what you want Him to do here. Continue to seek His face. Continue to pray for the search committee. Continue to pray for that man of God. And continue to be the body, thinking of each other more highly than yourselves, serving them, one another. I'm going to ask as we close. I'm going to close in prayer, if that's okay. Any other announcements, anything needs to be... I'm going to close in prayer, and I want you to just take a minute today before you walk out those doors or that door over there, and just hug somebody. Remind them of the fact that you're here for them. If there's a need in their life that you don't know about, that you'll do whatever it takes to help make sure that need gets met. Amen? Can we do that this morning? Just hug somebody. Could be your son or your daughter, your husband or your wife. Hug somebody, okay? Hug somebody, let them know. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the fellowship that we have, the ability that we have to love and nourish and encourage and to be the body of Christ. Free from selfishness, free from what we might get back just because of what you've done for us. We love you, Lord. We ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen.